4:14. Seeing that when we have a great high priest, hallelujah, you know that we've got a great high priest. What is this high priest? When you think about that as a high priest, it's one that is able to bring us into fellowship with God. That we have been brought into a fellowship with who? God. Who's God? He's my creator. He's the one that created this earth. He's the one that just put all this together, and he's put us together. We're made in his image. Then we've got such a high priest. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says, seeing that when that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Now, I tell you, this day and age, you're going to have to hold fast to something, aren't you? You've got to confess something. You're either going to confess that you're a child of God, or you're going to confess that you're a child of the world. Now, the thing is that God has his DNA in all of us. Even though he sent us here and we're on this side of heaven and we talk about, you know, the God of this world and that of Satan, and we're here in Satan's playground, and, you know, there's a lot of spiritual things taking place and all this that we can get into. But in every one of man that he has put here, there is a DNA of some type in all of us. Because how else would it be that God, by speaking into our spirit, even though we weren't born again, even though I hadn't received Christ, even though I didn't ask for forgiveness of my sins, there was something within my being that the Lord, all of a sudden, something happened in my spirit that started drawing me back. It wasn't immediately. It wasn't, you know, I went from here to here right away. But I believe, and I think maybe you too, maybe, that there was something in your life that all of a sudden you had enough of this life, or something was going on, and maybe everything was going good in your life. We hear a lot of times where people are really down and out, and they feel that's when they come back to God. Well, praise God. God is there for that too. But it's wonderful to have people that aren't down and out. They're just living life, but they're saying there's got to be more to this, or I'm inquisitive, or I feel there's something missing. Well, there is something missing in you if you don't have Christ in you. Amen. And that's why I think we have that ability within us, and God has put it there that man and women go through life, and all of a sudden we find out that there's just something missing and I need to find more of it. And the Spirit of God begins to draw that to himself. And somehow along the way, we maybe go to a service, we watch something on TV, we're flipping through the channels, and there's a message, a pastor, or whatever's taking place on TV, or on the radio, or a friend at work, whatever the case might be, God is going to use whatever it's going to take, or whatever is necessary to get into your heart, and to open it up even more. Through situations, circumstances, friendships. It's why it's important to have friendship. It's why it's important to have a relationship with people out there, even those in sin. Not to say to take up their sin and to follow what they're doing, but how else? Because if Jesus did that, my goodness, if he didn't go to where the sinners were at and would have hung out with all the good people, what would have happened? Nothing. It would have been for naught. You know, Jesus was born for nothing, but he came and spent time with that of the sinner, showing love, showing compassion, you know, reading their book to them at times, you know, when they tried to tell him who they were. Oh, yeah, I know you, the woman at the well. And healing different ones and casting demons out and all these things that Jesus did in just a span of like 3 years of fulfilling his ministry. Up until that time, he was just Jesus. And Jesus was not just a special name. I mean, Jesus was a common name back in those days. That's why it was kind of confusing for people to know, well, Jesus, well, okay. It wasn't like, whoa, anybody named Jesus and there's only one Jesus back then. No, there was other Jesuses. That's why it was kind of confusing as far as who's this guy saying who he is. And it really got him when he said, I'm the Son of God, or I'm, you know, the King, or, you know, whatever the case might be, that, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. And they started thinking, well, what in the world's going on with this guy? So we get into a lot of that, but as we are going through our life here, we find that God has in all of us a part of him. If it says that we were created in his image, isn't there something in all of us? I mean, we can go through, look at your family history, look at your DNA, And they can take your DNA and find it and traces it all the way back to different ones in your family. And I tell you what, when you come to find out, probably we all come back to there's someone, we're all related, I guess is what I'm trying to tell you. You know, we're all related. And we're joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this place. And that's even more talks about that of the family of God. And you know, that I think that is just in science as you start splitting it. I have no understanding of DNA because it's pretty, I can say those three initials and that's about as far as I know it. But I know it's all these things that connect and all these things in the human body and all these, the little spiral thing and all these things. I watch enough crime shows that I know about DNA. You know, and that wasn't really something that wasn't until like the last probably 5 or maybe 10 years that science, man, really began to study the DNA. There's a lot of crimes and things that happened back in, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. People were convicted, and now they look at the DNA and they find out, well, that person didn't do it. Or that person did do it, and they're not convicted. And so really the DNA is fairly new in concept of, I think, of our society, you know, of understanding, but it's an intricate thing of how this connects us. And I truly believe that we do have that of the DNA of God in us, and that's why we are drawn to Him sometime, somewhere along our life. And I'm happy that, you know, that we can be drawn to Him before we really hit rock bottom. You know, I would encourage you, if you haven't been drawn to Him, do it now! Don't go any further down. Just go, I need you, God, and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. But as we look at this, and I guess, look at this, my goodness. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. I confess Him as my Lord. I confess Him that He has taken my sin. We confess these things. Amen. Confession. Confession is good. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are. We have a high priest, that being who? Jesus, knows all of the temptations that we go through. Even though He was tempted, He never succumbed to it, or He never followed up with it. There's one thing about being tempted in those things, and there's another thing about being tempted and fulfilling it. It was talking about, and this is interesting too, because we talk about, you know, sinning and that nature, and well, if I'm thinking this or that, or, you know, is that sin, or I know it's sin if I'm thinking of this, but then am I falling away from God and all these things. I heard this person say, well, if being just told about something to sin made you a sinner and trying to be led astray, well, then Jesus was a sinner because the devil tempted Him. The devil put things in, you know, tried to get Him, coerced Him to do all these things against the Father, and Jesus stood His ground, didn't He? And so it's that thing of putting actions to those thoughts. Now, we got to cast down those imaginations. We got to cast down. We got to renew our mind. I'm not saying that I want to just dwell on sin and think that sin's all okay, but it's with the Holy Spirit within us that helps us when that thought comes or when that word that you say you feel all of a sudden was offensive to that person and you feel in your spirit that that wasn't right and that you need to apologize to them and you need to apologize to God, that's good. That's good. That just means that you're listening to God. That just means your spirit being, your whole, your spirit man is alive and tuned in onto the right frequency. God. G-O-D. 99.9 on your dial. You know? You've got to be tuned into God so that He can send His message to you and that you can be a part of that. But anyway, it's kind of getting off the track here, but for this year, January, I really didn't have a whole lot thought process of what this year was going to be about. And then in February, mid-February, it was beginning to hit me and I began to read this scripture here. Because the part of it that I want to focus on just now and just bring it before you a little bit, and we're going to have to keep touching on this throughout the year. Because I tell you what, if you're in the right relationship with God, you can go to Him boldly. The world doesn't understand that. But they look at those that maybe have somewhat of an understanding that believe that God is God and He is God, reverence, fear, and all this. But as His children and as we have received Christ, we've been brought into this family, we've been put into the kingdom, that don't you think that we can go boldly to God? And it does say this in Hebrews, because we're going to find that we've got a high priest who can understand our weaknesses, but he was without sin. And then 16 is the focal point of this year. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Hallelujah for grace. Where would you be without grace? You know, there's a lot of teachings and things out there, a lot of messages out there on grace, and grace is good. I'm thankful for grace. Don't abuse grace, but grace is good. It's there for us, that we may obtain mercy and then find grace to help in time of need. Throughout the year, we're going to have needs. You're going to have needs. I'm going to have needs throughout this year. But I know that I can boldly go to my God in prayer and lift these things up to Him, and that He hears these things. And if I am obedient, and if I just wait long enough, I know He hears me. I know the answer is coming. And then if it doesn't answer the way I think it should, then I just need to resign myself to say that, okay, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. And so that's the ability that you can go boldly to God if you allow God to do what He wants to do in your life. And whatever He does, you receive it as that, and you don't hit Him on the shin saying, but that's not the way I want you to do it. I want it this way. No, it's let Thy will be done, Lord. And so just focus on that for this year a little bit. We'll come up some more on that, but I think as we go into this Easter season and all, that I truly hope you guys are bold. One of the messages yesterday and part of the scriptures this guy used came across Hebrews, and it's like, you know, this was times that God just kind of hits those things, and you're sitting there, and you're, you know, okay, after so many hours, you're kind of dozing in and out, okay? You're kind of thinking like, oh, this guy was just putting so much information, just scriptures and so much things. Then all of a sudden, this thing comes up that he had mentioned in his sharing of some things about boldness of God, and he shared so much on the Holy Spirit and a lot on the blood of Jesus. My goodness, the blood, and what it's all about. But anyway, I hope as a church that we can boldly go before God at any time, day or night, whatever it is, you can go to Him and He's there for you. Today what I want to look at just a little bit is the fact that in Matthew, where we're kind of progress a little bit here, going to the cross, and we're into the times of just days before Jesus is going to the cross. But in Matthew, in the like second chapter, I think. Let's see. Well, wait here. I'm sorry, the third. Third, in Matthew 3:17. Now, John has just baptized Jesus. John said, you need to baptize me. What am I, you know, he's like, no, I need to do this. You need to do this for me. So Jesus has been baptized. And in verse 17, you know, well, 16, it talks about where, and when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. But verse 17, this is powerful, isn't it? And what happened? Suddenly, a voice came from heaven, doing what? Saying this, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Could you imagine those around that pool and the baptism at that time? And all of a sudden, you hear a voice come from somewhere. And I'm sure, I've got to believe that God's voice is not like, you know, this is my Son, who I'm well pleased with. I just have to believe it says, suddenly, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased with. That gets your attention. It's like, woo! Well, if you're well pleased with him, me too, you know? It's like, you know, it's like going to school and, you know, it's like, anybody got, you know, this is the answer to this question. Who had that? I did, yeah. Everybody's like, yeah, I did too, yeah. Yeah, we hear that voice. Now, where else did we hear that? Where else have we heard, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased? Well, now we're going fast forward into Matthew a little bit. And where do I want to go from here? We go to 17. The Jesus transfiguration. And there's accounts of this and what the significance and all of the transfiguration, but I find it interesting. They're talking about the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. We'll find it in Matthew 17, 1 to 3, and then you'll find a parallel of it, the same in Luke 9. And it's with the three witnesses there, and there's a lot of things taking place, but let us look at that. In verse, or chapter 17, Now, just before that, Jesus is talking about taking up the cross and to follow him. He's putting a lot of information. It's almost like probably those sessions, even this past weekend here with the men of the Word, where that pastor was just putting in just a lot of information, downloading a lot of information into us because the time was short. You're only there, you know, Thursday night, Friday, and then Saturday morning, and then you're gone. So there's a lot of stuff to try to put into people. Well, now we find that Jesus is putting in more information into what? His disciples, those that are around him, trying to get them to understand what these things are happening, and the time is drawing to a close, that the cross going in, the entrance into Jerusalem and the trial and all that was just days away, and all this is taking place. But anyway, it says now in chapter 17, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and they led him up on a high mountain by themselves. Wouldn't that have been something? What would you have done if you were back then, you know? And it was Tim. And, you know, my name could have been in there. Jesus took Peter, James, and Tim up on the high mountain. It's like, woo! You know, we're probably thinking like, oh boy, we're in trouble now. We're being taken away. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like what? That of the sun. There was a difference taking place on Jesus. His whole appearance. And there's some, you know, thoughts and things, but, you know, just read it for what it is. And it just says, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. There was something happening on that transfiguration time, and Jesus and the people, he took three of his disciples with him. Those were probably within the inner circle. Those three went with him, and the Lord did something phenomenal with his son. And by then they saw there's something truly different about this man, right? There's something different. Look what is happening. His face, like that of the sun, his clothes became as white. That tells me, well, he wasn't wearing white clothes or a white robe at that time. Transfigured. Some of that transfigured, you look at transformation or metamorphosis and all this. You start digging these lines and metamorphosis and changing of things. But, you know, I think what we see here is, anyway, kind of keeping it simple and not a whole lot of deep into it, but there was a powerful thing taking place that Jesus took his three inner close people with him up, and as he takes them up there, even before he said anything, the Lord, or God, transfigured him, changed his appearance, and it made them pay attention. Because then, behold, there's a few other people up there. Moses and Elijah appear to them, talking with him. And behold, Moses and Elijah appear to them. So them, the disciples, saw this. Jesus has been transfigured. There's something different about him. The face is bright as sun. His clothes are white. And now he's talking to Moses and Elijah. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? I would probably have said the same thing. God, bless Peter. He was the one that was just right out there. I'm not going to deny you. Ain't no way I'm going to deny you, Lord. I'm going to never deny you, Lord. Whoa. Peter denied him. Peter was the one that Jesus had to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Speaking through Peter about saying, no, you won't do that. You don't need to do that. You're not going to do that. Get thee behind me. But Peter's the one that when he was after Jesus came back after being put to death and he's on the shore and the fishermen are out there fishing, who was it that jumped out of the boat and swam to the shore because they recognized him and said, my gosh, that is Jesus, Peter. So don't knock Peter for denying Christ. He had a much more tighter relationship with him than many of us. Even though he denied him, even though he did these things, even though Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? How many times did Peter say, I love you? What, don't you understand? I love you. But anyway, Peter, bless his heart, answers and said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? You wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, so Peter is still speaking, he's talking to Jesus, Jesus' transfiguration there, his face is just, you know, bright as sun, his clothes are pure white, and he's talking, should we make a tabernacle here for you, one for Moses, one for you, and one for Elijah. While Peter is still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Now it's really getting there. You know, number one, Jesus said, hey, you three, come with me. We're going up to the mountain. I'm sure the other two, probably knowing what Peter is always about with Jesus, I'm sure, you know, that James and John said, what'd you do now, Peter? But anyway, they're going up there. Jesus is transfigured. They see these things happening, and then there's now something more happening. The bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly, do you pay attention to a lot of these things? Do you see a lot of things when God is doing something that it's usually a suddenly thing? I don't really think God comes in just kind of like, just moving in a little bit here, moving in a little bit there. No, God, when God comes in and he's going to make an appearance, or when God desires to do something, God will do it, what? Suddenly. Tells me that he's not going to Mickey Mouse around. That whatever God says he's going to do, when he says that he's going to do it, when he wants you to do it, he wants you to do it. He wants you to do it what? Suddenly. Now, thank God for grace and mercy, because there's a lot of things he's probably told you that he wants you to do that you've not suddenly done it. Your mind is holding you back. Your heart says, I want to do it, but the mind says, that doesn't make sense. And so your mind has still got some of that control over you because you're looking at it in the human side of it. When you've got to look at it in the spiritual side of it, understanding that God is there. When God says you to do something, when God says, I have granted this to you, or I have this for you to accomplish, we've got to be able to disconnect our mind, because our fleshly mind is going to say, but I can't do that because I don't have the training. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the ability. I don't have the finance. I don't have the connections. If you've got God, you've got the connections. If you've got God, you've got the finances. If you've got God, you've got everything you need. And anyway, we have got to be to that point of when the Lord speaks to us. Now you're saying, well, Tim, whenever the Lord spoke to you, did you do things suddenly? No. I'm learning along with you guys. But as I further read and the things that I see and the things in my spirit and reading what my God is all about, I have got to get to that level, and it's gotten, I think, a little more there. I haven't arrived. But suddenly being able to recognize things of God and suddenly doing them. Not haphazard. Not just willy-nilly. You got to know that you know that you know that it's God speaking into your life. Amen. And the only way you're going to get to know that you know that you know is you've got to spend time with God. You got to, in His Word, in meditation, in just conversation, just talking to Him when you're driving, talking to Him when you're, you can talk to Him and still watch TV. You can talk to Him when you're riding your bike, taking a walk, going shopping, going up and down the aisles at Woodman's. You can communicate with Him, talk to Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can do that. That's what God is all about. That He wants that relationship. He wants that ability. He's tired of people thinking that the only time they talk to God is when they come into the church. Only time they talk to God is when they come up to an altar. All that Jesus did and opened that up and opened the curtain and all these things that have happened. Yeah, in the Old Testament, you might have had to have the priest go and do all those things for you. You might only one time a year. All that was back then. Now we're now in the New Testament. We're now where Jesus came and fulfilled everything that Christ, or everything that God had for Him to fulfill. And we miss so much of it. We live a life that is not fully reaching the potential that is there for that, because our mind connects to what we think we need to do or shouldn't do, or that's, you know, pie in the sky type stuff. Anybody that says they hear from God, people in the world will claim that you probably need to be on, you know, some fifth or sixth or eighth floor of some hospital, you know, padded rooms or something. You hear from God? Have you ever shared that with somebody? You know, you're out, you know, taking a break at your job, having a cup of coffee in the lounge. What'd you do this weekend? Well, you know, I was out taking a walk and God spoke to me. Really? They might take their coffee cup and move it down the table a little bit. Well, what did your God say to you? Oh, I got to go now. My break is over. People look at you kind of funny, man. I don't know why. But God wants to speak to us. God wants to talk to us. God wants to share with us. But here's what I find very interesting here. Is we had that where, this is my son to whom I am well pleased, back when he was baptized. And the next time I find it, I go into this chapter here when he's on the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus, his whole appearance changes. Probably just like that of the baptism of water baptism. When he came out, there was a difference in him. And the Spirit descended upon him. There was something that happened. There's got to be something that happened when a voice comes out of nowhere. Ask Saul on the road. I mean, if God would ever get your attention that way, I think you'd probably stop. You know? And then he says this out of that cloud. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. God was well pleased with Jesus. Jesus loved God the Father. Jesus did only what the Father told him, showed him to do. Jesus didn't do what he wanted to do. Even in his 33 years, and especially in the last three and a half years of his ministry, Jesus never one time went out on his own limb and said, well, I'm going to do this. Look at all the power I've got. I can do this and change this over here. Jesus, every day, every step, was obedient to his Father. Because he loved his Father. His Father loved him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But then what's the last thing he says there? Hear him. Hear what Jesus is saying. Jesus, up to that time, had been sharing so much to his disciples, so much to those that followed him, all into the hundreds even, on the mount and the feeding of the 5,000, and they'd go on the mount and sermon on the mount, and all these things, and speaking from the hill, speaking across the lake, sharing what all that Jesus was sharing to the multitudes back then. And now we're finding where God says, hear him. Hear him. Jesus is just days away from being hung on the cross. He's filling up the rest of this stuff. He's got to drop all this stuff in, because as we look at this, we find out, he's still doing some things. Boy is healed, if you kind of continue on there, and there's more things that he's sharing in the parable, the tax and the sheep and all these things. But could you just imagine just trying to pay attention to all that was being done in that time? But the Lord said, God said, hear him. Hear him, what he is saying to you. What he was dropping into the spirits, into the hearts of the disciples, into the multitudes that were listening to him. They didn't really understand a lot of that. And there are some other areas that I was reading in John and all that I thought about going to. Last couple of weeks we were down in John 16, I think it was. We started off about 3 weeks back or so saying, well, congratulations everybody, if you've got Christ in your life and you're a follower of Christ, the world hates you. Now, who wants to receive Christ? Because that's what the Word says, that the world's going to hate you because it hated me. We find that today. We're finding it in greater measures today. It was always like that from the very beginning. We just see it amplified, ratcheted up a little bit here, Then we talked about the Holy Spirit. Well, we spent some time on the Holy Spirit and how many times the Holy Spirit was mentioned. Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Truth was like in three times in like those two or three chapters right around 14, 15, 16 through there, where Jesus was sharing the Spirit of Truth, because he knew that you are going to need truth to make it. Because there's going to be a lot of lies. There's a lot of dissensions out there. There's a lot of things out there that man is saying and they want you to believe it. But it's lies. Well, all roads lead to heaven. No, that's a lie. And that's sometimes our denominational or churches or some groups out there that say these things that, well, God loves everybody, so nobody's going to die. Nobody's going to go to hell because he says it right there. God says he loves everybody. He desires that none should perish. there's one thing desiring none should perish, and there's other saying, but everyone's got a free will. And I've left them that free will to choose. But I suggest, brother, you choose it. We were sharing this past week with a gentleman, very nice guy. Was raised in church in his early years, you know, came from a family of a large family. And yes, and was raised in church. And midway in his teen years, he decided to stop attending church and all, and I don't think he's been back ever since then. He said, you know, prayer in church for those that have it, that's probably good if they need that, and there is good in it, I think he said, you know. But I don't need it. So, interesting. You know, did we slap him over the forehead and say, be touched by God? No, we didn't do that. We just continued to talk. Listen. Throw out some questions. Did he say the sinner's prayer there? No, we weren't aiming for that. But we were just trying to find out where this guy is coming from. You know, before you really share things with them, you need to know where they're coming from. Because it'd be like force-feeding somebody that don't want to be it. And so it was interesting. I just found it interesting, you know, being raised in a church, and it was a denomination that was pretty strong in, you know, things of God and Jesus and all. And for that person to say, well, I don't pray, and that makes me, he goes, I'm not going to say for people not to pray if they find comfort in that and encouragement. That's good, you know, wherever you find, but I don't need it. I don't believe in God. There's a power out there, you know, it's there. So I said, well, I guess if you don't believe in God, then you probably don't believe in hell. No, there's no hell. Oh, okay. File that away, you know. Next time we maybe have some conversations and things that we just visit. And as I believe as the Lord leads us, and it's myself and another gentleman, that, you know, things will be said and just conversations, just drop seed in, just drop with little things here and there, be an encourager and all that. But I think that's those things that we are living in a time like that where there has been people raised in church, people that had, evidently, even people that at one time had relationships with Jesus Christ as their Lord that have turned away from him. It's like, wow. How can you turn away from something that's so good? Evidently, the world's got such a pull, or you've been deceived somehow. And it does say in his word that in the latter days, there's going to be a lot of deceivings deceptions taking place in our churches to take away from the overall power of what God is about and the power that Jesus, the blood, what the blood accomplishes and what the blood fulfills. There's not a lot of churches that speak on the blood. My goodness, they don't want to speak on redemption. They don't want to speak on anything that might cause people to go, ooh. They don't want to speak on the Holy Spirit because they might call it a Holy Ghost, and everybody's going, ghost? That's scary. And so a lot of times our churches, we get into that mode, and we go, well, I don't want to make them fearful. I don't want to chase them away, so I'm going to kind of stay away from this. We might touch upon it, but we're not going to dig deep into it. But there's redemption. There's that covenant. There's that new life that we all have, and it's not just because, you know, Jesus was born. No, it's because Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. And all these things, when that happened, changed the whole dynamics of everything. You know, when Jesus came, basically what he did is he put the church, you know, the synagogue, all these religious people, he kind of put them out of work. Because you could just go through Jesus, confess your sins, and be cleansed of your sins. You didn't have to go to your religious leader to take those sins one time a year into the Holy of Holies. Because what Jesus did on the cross, and when the veil was rent from the top down? A free access in to the heavenlies. And if people don't understand that, they're in bondage. They're still bonded to the thing that they don't understand, the freedom in Christ. There's a liberty with Christ to set the captives free. I think he came to set not only just the worldly captives free, but maybe he's come to release the captives of sometimes our denominational background churches and things and organizations that have put a lot of things in place that makes it very hard for somebody to even get to the throne of grace. Because before we allow you to go from here to get to God, you've got to follow our mandates, and we got to make sure that you are walking the line that we want you to walk in our organization. And once you fulfill that, then we will usher you into the grace of God. It's totally backwards. Forget the middleman. Go right to the top. If people understand that, you know, if you sin, be quick to do what? Repent. That's the things that the world... Oh, my goodness. I got to be out of here soon. Oh, man, I got 5 minutes or... I was hoping I'd even wrap this up sooner. In John 16:25, these things that I have spoken to you in a figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in a figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. This is Jesus talking to his disciples again. This is my Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And Jesus continues on in John and talking, everything in red. Just, if nothing else, you want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, just read everything in red. If you could just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, everything in red, if you just read that, man, you'll get the heartbeat of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then add the other stuff around with it. But, you know, if you want to hear your Lord and what he is saying to his disciples, he is saying that to you today. I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. We have got to tell people plainly about salvation, about God, about Jesus. Not hocus pocus, not dotting our I's and crossing our T's to make before we even want to take you into that level of things with God. We want to just get you right there, man. Let God do the organization of that person's life. Or, you know, I was going to say, and a lot of it is, cleaning out that life. Let the Holy Spirit do the cleaning. We as a church, I don't want to clean anybody up. I just want to connect you to the power that can. And then we want to be a church that can encourage and exhort and pray and be there and, you know, do whatever we can do. But I'm going to tell you that I can't, nobody, no man on this side of heaven can do anything for you to clean up where you're at except Jesus by the blood and just working with him and God, man. I tell you what, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit now... The Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to speak to us, because the Holy Spirit is doing the same thing that Jesus did in the flesh. He only tells us the truth. He only does what the Father tells him to do. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. Truth, truth, truth. The Bible is so grounded in truth because God back then knew that this age there would be so many lies out there and so many deceptions out there that he has to protect us or prepare us or to enlighten us to be aware of these things happening, and that we don't go to it's not that you want to beat up on churches and things, and I'm going to tell you, we can fall into that pattern as simple as anybody else if we turn from the Word of God. If we start doing a lot of little things that we want you to do to whatever, then we have taken it away, the authority, really, that it's all right here in the Word. I had a couple of visitors a few weeks back, and they're not here today. It's interesting. One lady says, you know, I've been to several churches in town, just kind of different ones. She says, you're the first pastor that I saw that read out of the Bible, that really took the Word and just read the Word and just, this is what Jesus is saying. This is what his disciples are saying. How does that affect your life? How do you find yourself? Where do you see yourself when Jesus was telling the disciples what he had to do or what they should do? Aren't we part of that? Aren't we followers? Aren't we disciples of Christ? My goodness. And there's good things to have all kinds of learning books to kind of find some of these scriptures and what it's all about, but sometimes that's all by man anyway. You know, there's all kinds of commentaries out there. Commentaries were not inspired by God. I'm not saying anything negative about those men and their knowledge. I've gone through and looked at a lot of those things, but anytime man puts his pen to something and writes something out, they can be as straight as an arrow. But there's been a lot of people that have been straight as an arrow and something's happened in their spirit and they've gone off the deep end. And it's like, where in the world did that all come from? And they were so close to God. You know, we have to protect ourselves. I've got to protect myself. You need to protect yourself. We need to stay in that communion with God. We need to stay close to Him. We need to stay in His Word. We need to say, what does this mean for us? You know, talks about down the road, Jesus was sharing about the stewards of talents and things like that. And one of the things is, it's like the Lord of that handed out the talents, the one that made something of all that, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the thing that we wanted. The Lord of that operation there, it wasn't the Lord, it was the Lord, the owner of that property and all, but that Jesus is in the red saying, this is the kingdom. This is what I'm talking about of being obedient and fulfilling the things and the giftings and the talents that God has given you. Don't go burying them thinking that you want to protect them. You got to use them. Hallelujah. And as we use these things, you know, isn't that one of the things, and I'll end with this, that we say, I want to hear God say, just like he did to Jesus, you know, not that he's going to say it to me, you know, that this is my son who I'm well pleased, but he'll say that, well done, good and faithful servant. You've done well, man. You've done well. You fulfilled the things that I've asked you to do. You must have heard Jesus. Amen. Okay, Lord, I'll take that as we will continue on until every light has burned out. This is going to be a long service, man. All of a sudden, he just goes, did the thing fall out of the air? Yeah. We've had that happen one time where the lens came out of the thing and just dropped down right next to somebody. Hallelujah. But God is good and God loves us. And as we get into this Easter season and things, and you know, we focus on it a little bit to kind of understand it, and we all understand it. I'm speaking to the choir here. I think you guys are you know, grounded into the things of God, but we need to be refreshed. I need to be refreshed. I need to reread these things. I need to be refocused at times because of the things in the world, the things that we come across just sometimes just gets us going so much and takes us away from what God has. Got to get back on that path, man. So, but on that Mount of Transfiguration, this is my son who I'm well pleased. And then he ended it by saying, hear him. So, are you hearing Jesus? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and this day, and we thank you for your word. Father God, if it wasn't for your word, where would we be? We would be lost. But with your word, we find direction. With your word, we find hope, strength, encouragement, joy, healing, so much more, Lord. We thank you for that. Father, as we are going through this time of looking at Easter coming up in just a few short weeks, Lord, as we read your word and as we go through devotionals and times with you the next several days and weeks out, Father, would you just enlighten our spirits? Would you just let us see something, Lord, that it would be important for our place and time where we're at with you, that we would see a difference, Lord, that anytime that we open up your word and we read it, Lord, when we close the Bible, we come away from it better than when we opened it, that we come away more encouraged, we come away more enlightened with what you have to say to us. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. And Father, that as we go here, you go with us. Prepare the way for us. Let us walk in the path that you have. Let us honor you, glorify you, and all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen.